Today's shiur is Masechta Bavasra, Daf Tzadik Kei. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of Toshma. The Gemara, in the previous shiur, had taught us the opinion of Rav Huna. As we were learning, the Mishnah introduced this concept. The halacha, if someone buys an item, the Mishnah spoke about buying grain, the Mishnah spoke about buying wine, different objects that the Mishnah discussed one could buy, and it's to be expected, as the Mishnah says, that there will be a certain percentage of inferior products left in that mixture. The Mishnah discussed what percentage is considered acceptable. By grain, the Mishnah said 1/24 is considered an acceptable amount of impurities to be found, that the sale stands and the buyer has to keep those impurities. Then Rav Huna discussed the situation. What would be the halacha if we found more than that percentage? Would that disqualify the entire, what does the seller have to take back? So Rav Huna was mechadish that the seller has to take back the entire amount of impurities. Just to, again, try to understand the question. If we say, for example, that finding in grain 4% of impurities is an acceptable ratio, what would be that look if I found 5% impurities? And now I give back to the seller that I got more than impurities that I was supposed to. Do I only have a right to give back 1%, which is one more than the 4% that the seller is entitled to sell? Or once I found more than 4%, I get to give back the entire 5%. And as we learned, it's actually Rav Huna's psak, is that I get to give back the entire 5%. But the Gemara actually gave two ways of understanding the basis for Rav Huna's psak. One was that min hadin, which means as follows. Here, obviously, there was a reason why I started sifting and looking at the grain to see if there are impurities. I must have seen that there's too much. And indeed, that's the case. So up to 4%, I'm Michael. Above 4%, there is no mechila, and therefore, min hadin, I'm entitled to get back the entire 5%. That's one way of understanding Rav Huna's position. Another way of understanding Rav Huna's position, the Gemara suggested, was a knas. Although the seller has a right, perhaps, to sell more than 4% impurities, only up to 4% does he have such a right. If he sold more than that, then Chazal penalized him that the buyer has the right to give back all of the impurities. And as we began, as the Gemara began in the previous shiur, the Gemara quotes different Mishnayos and different brises that are perhaps questions, challenges to what Rav Huna said, or rayas, support to what Rav Huna said. And not only when we ask a question or bring a raya, we also have to look at it from the perspective, what explanation of Rav Huna are we looking at? The perspective that Rav Huna was speaking about a din, or the option that Rav Huna was speaking about a knas. So Gemara quotes a brisa. Tashma, the Tani Ravan Barav Nachman. Here the Gemara, we're going to learn in the Mitzvah Shem later on Daf Kof Gimel, Mitzvah Shem, discusses a situation where I sold a kor of land. A kor is 30 saw. And here too, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that sometimes it's impossible to be exact in one's measuring. And therefore the halach is, layas ha-maisi b'vara machzer. So if somebody sold, again the Mishnah says there, that for every saw sold, a quarter of a kav under or over is to be accepted. But let's say it was more. That means, let's say I sold these 30 saw. So I could have sold more than just 30 saw. I could have actually sold 30 saw plus 30 quarter calves, and the deal would still be a legitimate deal. Here what happened was, I sold more than a 30. I sold, let's say, 31 quarter calves. Paskin's Raven Berev Nachman and his Brysa, the Lais HaMaisa B'Vadu Master, not only does the buyer at that time give back the whole 30 quarter, the extra 31st quarter calf? Elamachsa as kol harvan kula. He gives back the whole 31. Amma. So we clearly see from Ravin Ber of Nachman's Braisa that Hecha the Boya Hadura, that in a situation we return extra, we just don't return back the amount that was more than was to be accepted. But when you return Kula Mahadur, you return the entire amount. So this is clearly a Raya to Ravin, to Rav Huna's Din, that when there was more than was to be accepted, sold, then the entire overage is given back. The entire discrepancy is given back. Most Rishonim say that this attempted raya that the Gemara is giving to Rav Huna is according to the opinion that Rav Huna is saying his halacha min hadid. Others say that it could even be according to the understanding that Rav Huna is saying a knas. But what do we see from here? Alma, Hecha de Boya Hadura, Kul Mahadur, exactly what Rav Huna said. Says the Mahachi Hashta. You can't actually compare this case to Rav Huna's case. Hossam, Hein, Chesa, Hein Yosef. So the Rashbam explains the Gemara like this. When we're going to learn the Sugya later on, Daf Kuf Gimel, Daf Kuf Dalet, the Gemara says that where is the halacha that if there are more than 30 quarter cabs extra sold, the halacha is that the seller has to return all of the extra, is when the words hein cheser, hein yosser were used. That the buyer and seller recognized that it may not be exact, it may be a little more, maybe a little less. Although, I sort of was showing them explain that in order to understand our Gemara that differentiates between that case and the case of Huna, the fact that the buyer and seller agreed hein chaser hein yeser is not really a relevant point. Amalei miu hein chaser hein yeser amalei miu reviu loy chashiv yeser reviu chashiv the chiv and the chazal at the roof of Betisha's cabin have lay aruch shivas b'fnei afshav hadra. But the Gemara says it as follows. There are two ways of looking at it. First, we'll explain it the way the Rashbam explains it. If somebody, we said for every saw, you're entitled to have an extra quarter of a calf. If you're entitled to have an extra quarter of a calf for every saw, a base core, that's 30 saw, has 30 quarter calves. If you ended up giving even more than that, you'll have at least 31 quarter calves. 31 quarter calf is already a significant, substantial area on its own. And since it's a significant, substantial area on its own, therefore the halacha is that you have to give it all back. But here, it's not a significant amount, and we could say he's mindful. That's why one way of understanding. Another way, which is very similar, is as follows. If, as we just explained, let's say it's going to be a situation that there were 31 quarter calves extra. And up to 30 quarter calves, as we explained, is to be accepted. So we're going to tell the buyer, all you have to give back is a quarter of a calf. A quarter of a calf in itself is a meaningless amount of area. What's a quarter of a calf? So I have to give back the entire 31 to make it a place that what I'm returning should be of significance. Whereas, here, whatever I give back, I give back. Toshma. The Gemara tries to bring a raya from Hilchos Soinol. The Hadlokas of Aino that we've discussed Baruch Hashem so many times, going back to Masechet Baba Metzia, where Aino speaks about somebody who was overcharged or undercharged. So the Mishnah Paskins, the Halach is, Aino, if somebody was overcharged or undercharged, Pachs Mishtos, if it's less than a sixth, the Halach is Nikna Mekach, the sale stands. Yois Mishtos, if it's more than a sixth, the over or undercharge, Batal Mecha, the sale is void. Shtos, the halacha is that if it's exactly a shtus, a sixth, kana, the sale stands, but the amount that was overcharged or undercharged has to be completely reimbursed. So the question asked the Gemara, am I lehedat pox mishtus? The way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. In a situation where the overcharge or undercharge was exactly a sixth. So the Gemara, the halacha is, you have to give back the entire amount. Ask the Gemara, why do you have to give back the entire amount? Just give back enough that it should not be a sixth that was over or undercharged. And we just learned a moment ago that once it's less than a sixth, there is no einah. Why do you have to give back the whole amount? It must be that wherever shmamino, kol hecha the wherever the halacha requires me to return something, the halacha is kula mahadur. I have to return the entire amount. Here too, by, says Rav Huna, once I have the buyer has a right to return to the seller some merchandise, he has a right to give it all back. This is the simple way of explaining the Gemara. There are Rishonim that explain the Gemara differently. They say this certainly is the Gemara's question, but there's another aspect to the Gemara's question, which is, here we're saying that if the overcharge or undercharge was more than a sixth, there's bitul mekach. Question is, why is there bitul mekach? Why don't we say that the amount that was overcharged, let's say it's more than a sixth, make sure that you should return up to less than a sixth, and you'll no longer have a situation of einah. Why are we just quick to void the seir? It must be because once too much was taken, we don't look at it isolated, we look at the whole thing, and that's why there's a bitul mekach. Amalek says, again, this situation of einah cannot be compared to the situation of Rav Huna. Hachi hashta. Hasa mikar shava b'shava amalek. When I sell you something, I'm only allowed to take the fair market price. Just what? Miu pachs mishtos. If I overcharge, the undercharge less than a sixth, la yediya b'mana, or machl inish. Since it's such an insignificant amount, people are moichel. Shtos, but once it's a sixth already, yediya v'loy machl. That is already too significant of amount, and the person isn't moichel that over or undercharge. Yas mishtos, when it's more than a sixth, mekach tasu. Here we're dealing with a situation of a mekach tas, bottle mekach, and that's why the entire sale is void. So the situation is different, because even when less than a sixth was taken, it was wrong. It was just that there's a mechila involved, that a meichel, nobody's going to make a big deal about less than a shtos. But it's certainly different than our case, where in our case, if it would have been less than the amount that the Mishnah says, nothing wrong was done, because there are always, as we learned in the previous shiurim, impurities mixing into any product that's being sold. The Taz uses this Gemara to teach us a very important concept. We just learned it today, that the halacha is that if somebody was over or undercharged less than a sixth, there is no einah, there's nothing given back. Says the Taz, what is our Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that since it's such an insignificant amount, the person is moichel. But the Gemara doesn't say that it was that an aveira wasn't done. And therefore says the Taz la halacha, that if somebody over or undercharges less than a sixth, even if it isn't considered einah that I have to pay back, the aveira that the Torah says leisana ish esamisai certainly applies. In fact, the Emir Emes, based on this Gemara, explains the opinion of the Al-Sheikh, that the Al-Sheikh says that if there are partners that purchased or sold something in partnership, and the einah will not turn out that each partner will have been over or undercharged a sixth or more, there won't be einah. Even though, if we look at the entire amount, it is a sixth of the sale. That's what the Al-Sheikh says. And the Imre Emes, based on our Gemara, explains the opinion of Al-Sheikh by saying that since we're learning that if an individual was only nis'ana, was only cheated less than a sixth, he's Michael. So even though, if we look at all of us together, we were nis'ana a sixth or more, but I don't feel that I know. The Gemara says that I have to feel it. Since I myself don't feel it, there will not be a situation of einah. So again, Gemara again tries to bring a raya to Rav Huna's opinion. Toshma, hamakabel sod mechaveroi lita, if I accept myself to plant a field, hareiz makabelov eser burios lameya. If I accept to plant for you trees, the halach is for every 100 trees planted, it is to be expected that 10 trees may not give fruit. Yos makab. But once there are more than 10 trees that don't give fruit, so that much the receiver of the service doesn't have to accept it upon himself. And the halacha is Magadhan Lanfasakal. The service person who's planting the trees will have to reimburse him for all the trees that don't give fruit. Not only for the trees past the 10 trees. So we see that once, like Rav Huda said, that once you have a right to give back, you have a right to give back everything. So Zumar, again, it isn't a similar situation. Which means that if I have left 11 trees that don't give fruit, so 11 trees are considered in their own, it's the Pasha way of understanding the Gemara, 11 trees are considered within their own a significant area. That means it's a significant, substantial amount of area that I cheated you, didn't give you what I was supposed to. And therefore, I have to reimburse you for that significant amount, which is for all 11 trees. That's the simple way of learning. Taisus learns it a little differently. Taisus says, certainly the halacha is that if I'm supposed to plant trees on your behalf, it doesn't mean that I could deliberately plant 10 trees that won't give fruit. Chas v'shalom. The halacha is that I have to plant trees that give fruit. But it's inevitable that there will be trees that won't give the fruit. That doesn't mean that I'm allowed. Then, that's an acceptable ratio. Once there's so many trees that aren't giving fruit, Chazal looked at it as if I deliberately planted trees that don't give fruit, and therefore I have to reimburse you for all the trees, all 11 trees. Rafuna's situation isn't necessarily that way. Rafuna, it might be that there was too much impurity here, and therefore only the amount above the acceptable amount is what I should have to give back. We don't have a riot. And actually, as we finish now the sugya that we learned about Rav Huna, the Gemara has not in any way successfully supported or refuted Rav Huna's halacha. Matav Sayayin. We learned if somebody sells somebody else a wine cellar. So here the halacha the Mishnah taught us also was that for every 100 barrels of wine that I sell you, you have to be ready to accept 10 barrels that will be sour. Ask the Gemara again. Let's try to understand, ask the Gemara, Hechi Dami, exactly what is the situation that our Mishnah is speaking to? If it's just saying that I'm selling you a wine cellar, kasha. What's going to happen now in the Gemara, Mitzvah Hashem, is the Gemara is going to identify a number of possibilities which are the case that the Mishnah is referring to, where the Mishnah says the 90-10 rule, the data halacha will be that you have that up to 10 barrels of poor wine you have to be ready to take, and show that there's a braisa that says that in all of these possible cases that our Mishnah may be referring to, the braisa says that isn't the halacha, the 90-10 rule doesn't apply. And again, let's look into the Gemara. Hechidoni. Exactly what is the case of our Mishnah? Idi amalei matos shayayin stam. If the Mishnah's case, where I just said I'm selling you a wine cellar, will see kasha. The psaka of the Mishnah of a 90-10 doesn't make sense. Idam al matav zeh shoyayin. If I said this specific matav, it also will be kasha. Idam al matav zeh, without using the word yayin, then also the psaka of the Mishnah would be difficult to understand. Kasha. Another Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Tanya. Matav shoyayin ani moichalach. If I say to you, I'm selling you a cellar of wine, so since I identify clearly that what I am selling you is wine, I have to give you good quality wine, all barrels, no leeway. If I sell, I'm telling you, I'm selling you this particular cellar of wine, so I identify a cellar, I could give you all the wine could be wine sold in the store. As Rishonim explained, wine sold in the store was typically inferior quality wine, because in those days, good wine was sold by wine merchants to customers. The person who had wine that was of poorer quality would just give it to the store, and there people who were traveling or people who needed a quick drink would go, and our particular would go and buy that wine. So it's to be expected that wine that's sold in the supermarket is poorer quality. That's matters especially. By saying this particular cellar, you accept it on yourself. Whatever type of wine there is in the cellar, that's what you're going to take, and whatever it is, you have to take. Matters zani meichaloch. And I didn't even use the word. So here I identify the seller of wine. Seller with a C. Number two, I didn't say that I'm selling you wine. Here the halacha is, I feel cool chayim tzigiu. Even if it's all, even vinegar, the halacha is that you have to take it. So the question is, none of the cases that the Braisa just identified, different situations, is there ever a halacha that the 90-10 rule applies, that if they're up to 10 barrels of poor quality wine, you have to accept it. So what is the case of our Mishnah that says that there is a halacha that if I sold you 100 barrels of wine, you take 90, as up to 10 could be poor quality? Answers the Gemara, our Mishnah refers to a case where I just said I'm selling you a cellar full of wine. But the first case of the Braisa actually has to be amended. The Tana Beresh the Braisa, we have to amend the first case of the Braisa and say, O Mekabalov Eser Koisesois Lameya, that if I just sell you without identifying a particular seller of wine, that you have to take Mekabalov Eser Koisesois Lameya. You have to take upon yourself up to 10% will be poor quality. Ask the Mefarshim. At the beginning of our perek, we discussed the halacha of somebody who sold an axe. And there's a dispute between the buyer and the seller. If the axe, the buyer says, I bought the axe for plowing, and you sold me an axe, which is a nachlan, which is only good for slaughter. And the Gemara said, that a way to determine this dispute, it didn't work in the case of the Mishnah, was by looking at the price. So why in our case don't we look at the price? Says the Bach, a very important concept. He says, in that case, we sold an axe. And it's not clear what kind of an axe was sold. What purpose was the axe sold for? Slaughtering or plowing? Now we have this dispute. Here we said, Yai, everything that the seller gave the buyer was wine. The question was, what type of wine? Since the word yayin was used, it means yayin. And yayin is being delivered, we can't rely on price to make that determination. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain the Braisa in the Mishnah that way? That's referring to a situation where I sell to you. I'm selling you a wine cellar that you have to accept the 90-10 rule. We learned another braisa. If I sell you a barrel of wine, nice and logical, so the obvious question is, how can we compare one barrel to a whole cellar full of wine? One barrel is either good or bad. So there are two ways that the Rishonim resolve. We need to understand, in other words, the Gemara's Havamina. There are two ways that the Rishonim address this question. One way they address it is by saying, and we're going to discuss it later in the parak, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, that a barrel of wine does not become sour, does not become spoiled all at the same time. It's possible that you can have in one barrel of wine, good quality wine, and inferior quality wine. And we'll understand it better as we get into the parak. But that's not the pasha pshat. Usually it's all the same, one barrel. It all mixes up, it's a liquid. So therefore, the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara's Kashin, the Havamina, is that when I sell you a barrel of wine, it doesn't mean I sold you one specific barrel. Let's say a barrel holds it at 20 gallons. I said I'm selling you chavis means I'm selling you the amount of wine held in a barrel, but I'm selling it to you in different vessels. Each vessel has a certain amount that will total together the amount that a chavis holds. And now the Gemara's question is, why? Answers the Gemara, Shani chavis, the kula chad chamruhu. A chavis, the one answers, is not to be, the simple way of understanding the Gemara's Torah says, no, that the definition of chavis is not to be understood as separate, small vessels that equal the amount that barrel holds. It's one barrel. And one barrel can be good and bad at the same time. So if I sold you one barrel, obviously it has to be good wine. There's no room for bad wine. So ask the Gemara a different question. Vatani Rizvid, the Beir Baishia, Revisit says in this brisa, if I say to you, Matos Shiyayin Ani Meichelach, the same case as the previous brisa, it says, Matos Shiyayin Shikuf Yofa. If I said, Matos Zeh Shiyayin Ani Meichelach, again, Matos Shiyayin Shikuf Yofa, on the Kabbal, Allah Esa Kaisis Lameya, there the 90-10 rule applies. The Zehu, Oitz Shishon Chom Mishnah Seinu, that is the case that Chazal referred to in the Mishnah. So now, this Braisa clearly teaches us that where does the 90-10 rule apply? In a case where I said, Matav Zeh Shoyayin. But if I said Matav Shoyayin, then I have to give you all good wine. So we've accomplished two things. We've accomplished the Teretz and we've accomplished the Kasha. The Teretz that we have is now we are able to understand explicitly what is the case of our Mishnah that says there's a 90-10 rule. The case is when somebody said Matav Zeh Shoyayin. This price clearly teaches us that that's when the 90-10 rule applies. Easy. But now ask them, well, we have a stira. This price says that when I sell you, when I say the words Matav Shoyayin Ani Meichelach, I have to give you only good wine. And we just said in the previous Gemara that when somebody says Matav Yayin Shani Meichelach, I don't have to give you all good wine. Then when I give you Matav Zeh Shoyayin, I don't have to give you all good wine. Then I could give you Yayin Hanim Kevachanos. So how do we reconcile it? Here it says when I said Matav Zeh, I have to give you the 90-10 rule applies, but I have to give you at least 90 barrels of good wine. And previously we said when I say Matav Zeh Shoyayin, I could give you all the wine Hanim Kevachanos. Elamas Nitzin Damalei Zeh. But ask Gemara Kasha Zeh Zeh. Here it says that when I say Zeh, the 90-10 rule applies. And the previous price it says that when I say Zeh, I give you Yayin Shanim Kubachalos. So Gemara, it's not a question. Loi Kasha. Had am loyal mikvah, had loy am loyal mikvah. Here the word mikvah, with a pay, means wine used for cooking. And wine used for cooking has to be better quality wine. Why? Because the wine that's going to be used for cooking is used up very little at a time. How much wine do you need to cook? So it has to last a long time, and therefore it has to be better quality. And the Gemara elaborates. There's vid, the case of Rizvid is the Amalayla mikvah, and therefore I need to have better quality wine. Brisa, the light Amalayla mikvah, where the buyer did not indicate that he's buying the wine to use for cooking. So Hilka, Matos Shiyayin, if the person said that I'm selling you a cellar of wine, Nois and La Yayin Shikula Yafa, because he used the word mikvah, but if he yes said Matos Zesh La Yayin, Vamalei Matos, in the next case, we said Matos Zesh La Yayin Vamalei La Mikvah, so I designated a specific cellar, but I also said La Mikvah, so there Allah again will be Nois and La Yayin Shikula Yafa, but Mal Kabbal of Esekos Lameya, the 90-10 rule apply. As we've been explaining, on one hand, by saying this is the way that we're trying to explain the Gemara, it's going to be relevant in a minute more. By saying Matav Zeh, I'm saying it's the seller of wine, no matter if it's good or bad. But by saying that I'm selling it to you for cooking, I mean good wine. So how do we reconcile these sort of contradictory statements? That's why the 90-10 rule will apply. On the Kabbalah of Esekos Lameya, the 90-10 rule will apply. Whereas if I said Matav Zeh Shoyayin, where I said Matav Shoyayin, and I didn't designate a specific seller, so I meant only good wine. Third case, where I said Matav Zeh Shoyayin, this specific seller, wine cellar. Furthermore, and I didn't say that I'm selling to you that you could use it for cooking wine, so I never sort of indicated it's going to be quality wine. Then Allah is nice, I could give you even poor quality wine. Ask the Gemara. Ibailu, the following question was used. So the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara's question is as follows. I just finished explaining that in the case of matzah shel yayin lemikvah, there's something working in the buyer's behavior benefit, and a certain and there's a part of the statement that works against the buyer. What do I mean? By saying matzah, by designating a particular wine cellar, it works against the buyer's benefit. Whatever is there. By saying the word mikvah, I'm working on the buyer's benefit, because I'm saying I'm selling you cooking wine. So how do we reconcile these contradictory statements? By applying the 90-10 rule. Ask the Gemara, perhaps in a situation of matav shel yayin, so on one hand, there's something working in the buyer's benefit. I said matav shel yayin. I didn't specifically designate any particular wine cellar for you, so I have to give you good wine. On the other hand, I didn't say mikvah. By omitting saying that it's going to be quality wine that you can use for cooking, maybe I don't have to give you such good quality wine. Our Gemara just taught us that wherever one statement has in it contradictory or different I'm sending mixed messages in one statement, the 90-10 rule applies. So the Gemara suggests maybe this statement, a matav shel yayin, is also considered a mixed statement where the 90-10 rule applies. That's one way of understanding. Or you could understand it, because I said matav shel yayin, yayin is yayin. And it makes no difference if I said mikvah or not, I have to give you good wine. And therefore, it would not be considered a statement of mixed messages. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara, it's actually a machlokes. Pligi bar Ravina, Ravacha Ravina. It's the subject of a machlokes between Ravacha and Ravina. Charama Mekavel, one says that the 90-10 rule applies, for Charama Le Mekavel, that it doesn't apply. And the Gemara explains itself. Mandam Mekavel, the one that says the 90-10 rule applies, that with Rav Zvid. We're bringing a raya from the words of Rav Zvid. And as Rishbam said, it's not to say that Rav Zvid is saying it. It's just saying that from the way Rav Zvid worded his braisa, it seems to lead us to come to a certain conclusion. The Tani. What does Rav Zvid say? If I just said I'm selling you a wine cellar, I have to give you only good wine. For Kimna. And we just finished explaining why must they only give you quality wine? Tama, double el mikvah. Because included in my statement was that I'm selling you quality wine. Tama, double el mikvah. Specifically because I said that I'm selling you wine that you could use for cooking, which as I keep on saying is high quality wine. Holo amalei le mikvah. If I didn't say that I'm selling you wine for cooking, then the loch would be a kabbal. That the 90-10 rule applies. So it seems that whenever the words matav shel yayin are used, if I omitted saying lemikvah, the 90-10 rule ought to apply. That's one way of passing it. Or mandam alay mekavel, the mandam that said that when I said matav shel yayin I'm selling you, even though I didn't include the word mikvah, I must give you yayin shekula yofa, died me braisa. He brings a raya from what we learned in the braisa. Because it says in the Braisa, the Tani, Matav shel yayin ani meichlof, the Braisa says that if I give you, I'm selling you a wine cellar, nice and like yayin shekula yofa, I have to give you only good wine. V'kimna, and we explain that what is that case? The loy amalei lemikvah, that I didn't say lemikvah, and still I have to give you good wine. Ask the Gemara, or the man Rav Zvid, the one that tries to bring a raya from Rav Zvid, what will he do with the deed for the Braisa? Kasha Braisa. How will he explain the Braisa that seems to clearly indicate that when I'm selling you matav shel yayin, even if I didn't say lemikvah, I have to give you yayin shekula yofa? So the Machshuim Machshuvach Ketamim. We have to add words into the Brisa and understand the Brisa this way. The Madvar Amurim. When is the halacha that if I said I'm selling you a matzah shoyayin, I have to give you only good wine? Tamalayla Mikvah, where I said that the wine is going to be used for cooking. Halayamalayla Mikvah. If I didn't include that statement, the halacha would be Mekabel. That you have to take the 90-10 rule applies. Or matter zeshel yayin, if I specified a specific wine cellar, the loy amalei lamikvah. So there are two things happening here. Number one, I specified the wine cellar I'm selling you, and furthermore, I did not say that the quality of the wine that I'm selling you is good for cooking. Then that lochas nashlo yayin amikvah chanos. I could give you even completely poor quality wine. Ask the Gemara ulaman. The diet mibraisa kashdrosvit, the one that brought the raya from the braisa, that the entire that the halach is that you the 90-10 rule won't apply. What will he explain rosvit? The kimna that we said rosvit is speaking specifically in a situation domle la mikvah that I said that the wine I'm selling you can be used for cooking, and that's why the halach is it has to be yayin shakula yafa halay. If I didn't say that the wine I'm selling you can be used for cooking, the halacha would be mekabel, that the 90-10 rule applies. Says, well, that's not the way to understand Rashid. Who I did not forget the amalei mikvah. Even if I didn't say mikvah, loy mekabel, the 90-10 rule doesn't apply, and I have to give you good wine. For hodik, so ask the Mardavi's question. If, whenever I say the word matzav shayayin, not matzav, matzav shayayin, I have to give you good wine. And it makes no difference if I said mikvah or I didn't say mikvah. I have to give you good wine. So why do we have to explain resvid? Is referring to a situation that I said the mikvah, that I said I'm selling you wine that you could use for cooking. I didn't have to say it. And I still would have to give you good wine. It would be even a bigger chiddush. Because we had a stira on top of the Amid, and the only way to answer that stira was by adding these words in. Why do we have to answer that way if the halacha isn't that way? So Rishonim explained, since this brisa is speaking about different situations, it doesn't bother the Gemara to speak about different situations, even though other halachas may also be true in this brisa.